Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Football Friday Fiesta underway here on the... Well, that's a thing that just happened live on the radio. No worries. We're good.
It's happened before. It's not like it's unusual. I mean, you know.
I mean, it's still unusual. It's not... the only time, but I would like to. What is happening?
All right, this is your own fault because you're just like wearing a plain white T-shirt.
The plain white tee is one of the greatest bands of all time.
Okay, and it's weird for you.
I was trying out a new vibe today,
Mr. Pink, Mr.
I went joggers and white snit white kicks today. Trying out a new thing.
It looks like no socks, but you got those weird socks.
I'm a no-show sock guy.
Yeah,
no-show sock guy.
I just don't understand that because I guess they must stick. You use glue to keep them on your feet so they don't slide under your heel.
Are your feet slimy? Why are your things sliding around on your feet?
I don't think I'm the only one who has that problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Friday Football Fiesta underway. Let's get to it because it is going to be a massively busy day on the radio program today. We've got to talk about socks, the correct style and fit of them. We've got to talk about football. I asked the question yesterday, and I got, stop running, Kyler Murray. Please stop running. I can't not see it anymore. We've got the highlights going on, for the record, for one more hour until we turn it over to the Ryder Cup at 7:10 when Bryson DeChambeau and the boys get it started off for Team USA.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am going to go ahead and put it on spoiler alert now. The Ryder Cup goes on the TV at 7:10, and that's it. Yes, it is the best golf. Here's the hottest of the hot takes, people.
We'll see if you remember to come around here and get the remote and do it, because, I mean,
I'll do it right now.
I'm not going to remember.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's my hottest of hot takes. I like the Ryder Cup more than I like the Masters. I like the Ryder Cup more than I like the Masters. It is a more fun event. It's a shorter event. Obviously, there's far less people playing, not at it. Well, also at it.
How could you like it better than that? I mean, come on.
I love the Masters. This is more a compliment to the Ryder Cup than it is a dig at the Masters. I love the Masters. The Masters is the only golf day that happens every year where I say, don't call me, don't text me, don't beep me, don't fax me, don't smoke signal me, don't carrier pigeon me at all.
Don't beat you?
Beep.
Okay.
Beepers.
I'm pretty sure that sounded like a T. But
don't reach out to me on Masters weekend because my wife and I will be on the couch drinking some azaleas and enjoying the show. The Ryder Cup is the football version of competitive golf. It is electrifying. It's the absolute best. And the best part about it, but you know what? I'm not even going to say the best part about it. I'm gonna play you a clip from the opening ceremony, which took place on Wednesday. But I still think it's absolutely fantastic. Luke Donald is the captain of Team Europe. He got to the microphone to give his whatever hype speech. That's not really hype, but it was kind of hype, but it's not hype. Here's how he opened up the Ryder Cup. What do you mean? Listen.
USA. Get off the podium, punk.
Hang on.
No one wants to hear your pleasantries. No one believes you.
I am 1,000% over the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. I am going to be 1,000% that obnoxious USA, USA, USA. Whole week is going to be me, that guy. All right? I can't wait for it. But I am also going to say, if you can get me excited about the event with the accent of the bad guy in every Revolutionary War movie, that means I'm excited about the event. That's great. I love it because I am.
See, I envisioned, even though I already saw the guy while you were recording, I envisioned Ludwig Kaiser up there.
When the event kicks off, guys that I love, Rory McIlroy. I love Rory.
Punk.
One of my favorite golfers of all time.
Loser.
But it's 7:10 this morning.
Why does it have to be then? I mean,
because that's when the tournament starts.
Yeah, but this is the day of. It starts the day of. I mean, if you got hatred towards these guys because they're competition, it needs to come out now. We get this gentlemanly, cordial stuff.
I mean, it is golf. I love Rory. Tyrrell Hatton is one of my favorite athletes, period, point blank, end of discussion.
You're making me believe that you would heckle politely. Come on.
Okay. I'm going to pull the clip of this and play it in just a little while. Let me tell you the heckling that I respect. I'm glad you brought that up because this is actually going to be a thing for later in the show. Yesterday, Rory and Team Europe.
Your punter is short.
It's actually really funny, but no, that wasn't it. Rory McIlroy and the rest of Team Europe were standing yesterday on the first tee, or excuse me, on the driving range, getting ready for their final round of practice before they go out for round one coming up later on this morning. And as Rory was standing on the driving range and they were all kind of standing around waiting for their opportunity to get up there and get loose, a guy, an American from the crowd, Rory was fixing his shirt. They were wearing polo shirts, obviously. And Rory is fixing up the buttons on his shirt. And a fan yells at him, "Hey, Rory, you don't need a top button to choke." Let me tell you how good that heckle was. That's a God-tier heckle. Let me tell you how good that heckle was. Team Europe started laughing at it. Tyrrell Hatton turned around and pointed at the guy and goes, "That's a good one." Like, they lost it at how good. That's a great heckle. And that's what I'm here for at this event, man. I want to beat that ass over the next 3 days of golf. But at the same time, it is an event that I think you kind of recognize the team that is across from us is the world's best. And they look at us and say, the team that's across from us is the United States' best. This is the best of the best of the best that exist doing our sport.
Is the number one golfer in the world playing?
He sure is. Scottie Scheffler will be in group two going off the tee. And this is fun. Listen, I could do...
Where's he from?
Scottie Scheffler will be from Texas.
That would be in what country?
The United States.
Right.
Yeah.
Take that, Europe, you punks.
However, if you look down the list of world rankings, there's a lot of Europeans in the top 20, a lot of them on this team. So,
second place is what?
Silver medal.
First loser.
So I am very interested in the strategy from Keegan, our captain this year, not our Keegan, Keegan Bradley, professional golfer, because he has decided to send out Bryson DeChambeau in our first group. And there is one reason and one reason alone that you throw Bryson DeChambeau out in the morning session. One reason and one reason alone.
Flex session.
It is 1,000% a vibe. It is 1,000%. I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. Hole number one is a downhill dog leg to the right. And if you can fly the trees, you're looking at like, I think it's like 375, 380, something like that, to the green. And so for the biggest hitters, it is possible to fly those trees and get on in one. Now, if you miss, You are completely, entirely, and thoroughly duh. But if you get on, it is going, if Bryson DeChambeau, what I'm telling you, not only is he going out first, I'm going to go with he's going to go for the green in one. And if he misses, he misses whatever. They are sending out John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton as their first. Hatton is the other, like, he's Team Europe's Bryson DeChambeau. He's a vibes guy, an emotional guy, an electric guy. So you are putting up the two vibes guys against each other. But Tyrrell Hatton does not have get on and one power. The most anticipated shot is going to be Bryson DeChambeau's first tee shot, because if he goes for it and if he gets there in one, that place, the lid is going to come off. It's going to be wild. It is going to be wild if he gets on. So this is a vibes play from Team USA. I love it from Keegan, because you do it one of two ways. You either send out Scottie Scheffler in the very first tee time, and you go, you're the best golfer on planet Earth. All we need you to do is go out there, hit your shots, and win this foursome. Because two years ago at the last Ryder Cup, Team Europe went 4-0 on the morning foursomes of day one. And that was we weren't coming back from that. We were bleeped from the drop when they went 4-0. You can't do that. So one of the things it looks like Keegan wants to do is, let's get the golf course on our side. Let's get the Americans, let's get the Yanks absolutely fired up here. And I think that's Bryson DeChambeau's job. Go out there, drive a couple of greens, hit a couple of OMG tee shots, get the people buzzing, so that when the next groups of four come by, they're already electric. Right? When Scotty gets on the tee in group two, the guys around the box, the gals around the box in the Star Spangled Banner, they are already buzzing. They're already hype. And now we can ride that. Now, that puts a lot of pressure on Bryson, because if Bryson DeChambeau goes out there and he misses, if he goes out there and he hits one and, 10 yards into the rough, or goes OB on the opening tee shot or whatever, all of a sudden, it's a different story. Because if he goes out there and gets the slow start and looks bad, then all the people that are at the beginning of the golf course, which is where I want guys like Scotty to start feeling the energy out there, there's not going to be any. In fact, quite the opposite. If Bryson DeChambeau blows it out of the gate, then what happens? Exactly the opposite. If I'm Tyrrell Hatton, if I'm Justin Rose, all right, cool. Like, I'm just going to hit my shots and let Bryson implode. I'm just going to play easy, conservative, traditional golf. I'm going to let Bryson have to army march his way back into this. And if he starts to get back into it, sure, we'll pick it back up. But let's just go hit our golf shots. Let's go play go play one under golf. And let's let the Europeans here start to feel the vibe. And let's see if we can do for the guys coming out in group two what they sent Bryson DeChambeau out to do for the guys in group two on the American side. This thing starts gasoline at 7:10 a.m. I could not be. This is my favorite event in golf. I like this event more than the Masters. I love the Masters. The Masters is about the golf course, though, right? And this is at Bethpage Black. This is at one of the most difficult golf courses anybody can play. That adds to the element. The Masters is about Augusta. Yes, it's about Rory getting his first green jacket. It's about the meltdowns. It's about the comebacks. It's about the drama of the game of golf. But it is all built around the history, the tradition, the legacy that is Augusta National. The Ryder Cup, it's not about the course. It's about the course only in that that's where they're playing. They've got to overcome unique challenges at whatever course it's based at this year. But every eyeball is on the golfers, and it's on the pairings, and it's on the chemistry, and it's on the strategy, and it's on the captains. Because if they make a wrong decision and they send out the wrong guy in the wrong slot at the right time, and you give a full point away, right? If we can walk out of this thing in the early four, if we can walk out of it tied, we've got a real good chance. If we can walk out of it 3-1, we got an excellent chance. If we can split this thing even, however it shapes up, We've got ourselves a chance for the weekend. If we go down 3-1 to Team Europe in the opening four, that's a mountain to get over to come back. So Keegan Bradley's opening pairings are maybe the most critical pairings of the entire weekend. And it's going to be wild. All right, we got session number one going off at 7:10. It is foursomes. And then at 12:25, session number two will start. That will be four ball. That's four guys playing their own shots. We'll do foursomes out of the game. That is the same schedule for tomorrow. And then obviously on Sunday for day three, it'll be singles starting at noon. 6 hours of excellence. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. This, to me, has me buzzing the way the Olympics do. Like, this is golf Olympics for me. And I know there's golf in the Olympics, but this is golf Olympics for me. This is going to be exceptional. To the point that I spent 16 minutes opening the show on the Ryder Cup. Hell yeah, we did. No, I'm not ashamed. No, I won't apologize. But when we come back, it's the hashtag Friday Football Fiesta. So, let's do this. Let's talk about this South Carolina-Kentucky game. Because I have labeled it must win. If you don't win this game, South Carolina, you might as well start developing your next crop of players. Start giving the young guys some XP. Because hopes of even making a bowl evaporate with a loss against Kentucky tomorrow. Let's talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. Rob! Lonzo, you, The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The South Carolina Gamecocks taking on the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend. I have labeled, I will continue to label this game, a all bold must win for the Carolina Gamecocks. I do not think that it is an option. If you have, for the record, any desire to make a bowl game this year, then I think this is a must win. And it is 100% about the schedule. It is 100% about where you are going after this. It's not going to get any easier after this. And so in order to get to your six games that you need to get to, this has to be one of them. If you walk out of this with an L, 7:45, night game, Williams-Brice Stadium. All of the things that are supposed to be in your favor are in your favor tomorrow night. We spent the offseason talking about how Williams-Brice Stadium is a special home field advantage. Last time out, you got your ass whipped on that football field. There is more to it than just the fact that if you lose this game to Kentucky, if you start with a 2-3 record, all three in the conference, there's a lot more to it. We have talked about the schedule, obviously, a multitude of times. I know it's probably been beaten like the dead horse that I'm sure many of you feel like it is. It is not about the fact that the second half of the schedule is dramatically tougher than the first half, which you are 500 through four. It is also about the fact that I've got no reason to believe that a team that struggled against Virginia Tech, who lost to Old Dominion 2 weeks later and fired their coach, that a team that, yes, the 38-10 scoreline doesn't indicate it, struggled for 2.5, say almost 3 full quarters against South Carolina State, with all due respect to SCSU. For a team that got absolutely beat down by the Vanderbilt Commodores, yes, I understand that's a good Vandy team. I'm the one that spent the offseason telling you, you better be careful of this Vanderbilt team. But you got it handed to you. And then a team that had every opportunity against Missouri to get it done. And I'm not going to say that you shot yourself in the foot in this game. I am going to say you lost that game, in my ever so humble opinion, because of a dramatic ineptitude at the fundamentals of football. A lack of understanding in the play calling on offense as to what does work, has worked, and is working. And on defense, you can't tackle. You can't tackle, and I don't know what to say about that. That is one of those things that I can sit here and drive over and over and over into your eardrums. But if you are telling me that through 4 weeks of football, you can't tackle, you're getting a running back who is just... And listen, we've talked about it quite a bit. Ahmad Hardy is a very good running back. If we're power ranking running backs, he is towards the top of the list. But that's not Derrick Henry out there. You've got to be able to tackle. It is ineptitude at the basics, at the fundamentals, that has brought you to 2-2. So not only is Kentucky a must-win game this weekend, but I am also going to say there is one thing I am looking for in the win. Can we scale it back? Can we dial it back? Get the little things right so that the big things fall into place. I was watching Shane Beamer's press conference yesterday, and he got asked about the things he felt were working and were not working against Missouri, and how he's going to take advantage of that in the game against Kentucky. And Shane was talking about play action passes. And he said, you know, for a little while, the play action was working. So one of the things we need to do is get the run game going so that we can complement that, so that we can get to what was working early in the Mizzou game, which was deep balls. How many of those big shots down the field are, respectfully, the only reason that you were in that football game? Deep shots to Nick Harbor and whoever else was down there, the only reason that South Carolina made that game look competitive. And to his credit, Shane pointed out that if we can't get the run game going and be a team that can run it at you and then throw it over your head, his words, not mine, We're not going to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And that was something that I pointed out Monday. Was the big shots work? But you cannot be a team that lives and dies by the deep ball. You cannot be that team. You will not find a successful team. If anybody has one contrary to this, I'm here for it. But you will not find a team that is successful solely because of the deep ball. Can't do it. You have got to have a run game that can keep a defense pressed up, because I'm at the point, if I'm Kentucky, what am I doing? Hey, y'all make sure that Harbor kid doesn't get to do anything. Remember Mighty Ducks when they figured out that Keenan could hit the knuckle puck? And they were playing Iceland, and they set Keenan up for the knuckle puck from the blue line. And the Iceland coach looks at the ice, and he goes, "Shooter!" And what happens? Everybody just, phew, go get that guy. They just rough him up, take the puck, go down to the other end and score against Team USA. It's that against Nick Harbor. Every time that guy on a nine route, two guys on that guy. One over the top deep to prevent the deep ball, one underneath so he can't stop on the sideline and get a hit. And that is taking away, what, 75% of what made South Carolina competitive in that last game. This game is a weird game for me because Kentucky is not just a must-win game for the Gamecocks, but it is also a, in my opinion, kind of a back-to-basics game. It's kind of a back-to-basics of let's make sure our offensive line is blocking correctly. Let's make sure our running backs are A, getting, B, seeing, and C, hitting the holes in the run game. Let's make sure that if we are going to have Lenore Sellers drop back into the pass game, that he is protected correctly. Let's make sure that we understand what he is capable of doing in the pocket. One of the things, let's tell you what my biggest fear for Lenore Sellers is right now. My biggest fear for Lenore Sellers is that he has had it drilled into him that your job is throw first, escape the pocket and throw second, and run as a distant third. That's what I'm afraid of. Because have any of you seen a level of aggression in running the football from Lenore Sellers that matches what we saw begin to develop last year? I can't say that. I do not see when Lenore Sellers, the few times that he is running to escape a very rapidly deteriorating pocket, I have seen Lenore running backwards more times than not. I'm still mad as hell that we have the ball first and goal on the one, and the play call there is a five-step drop back NFL-style pocket pass. What are we doing? But then, when that happens, and Lenore takes the drop, and he looks up and sees pressure, what does he do with the football? He keeps backpedaling. My man, put your foot in the ground and get to the outside. And if the pressure's coming from that way, hit the B button, spin to the other side. Use that talent. But the fact that he took, how many sacks did Lenore's, not just sacks did he take in that game, but how many sacks did he take in that game against Missouri? Where the sack was because he started retreating straight backwards. Is that the best way to take advantage of Lenore Sellers' athleticism? Obviously not. But it became a trend in that football game. You ready for the scariest part of this? Mark Stoops may not have a great Kentucky defense like he has had in a few of the last few years where he's had some dogs over there. But Mark Stoops is not an idiot. What are you doing defensively if you're Mark Stoops? How are you handling Lenore Sellers this weekend? Edge. Set the edge. Because Lenore Sellers has now shown me, whether it's he's been coached to do this or he has regressed to do this, when the edge is set, Lenore is backing up. He's backpedaling. And then, if he's backpedaling, he's not throwing backwards. You know what made Lenore Sellers so dangerous that he got onto the national map last year? When he got to the outside and he was on the run, he still dropped darts. He could be on the run to the left and one of the few quarterbacks that could get the body turned around and deliver an accurate sideline throw. That's what put him on the map. The running and the athleticism, and then followed it up with the ability to make accurate passes on the sideline while getting outside. That's what made him dangerous. Now, when you have him playing as a pocket quarterback, and when you have created a world in which his response to pressure is to back up, to run backwards away from it, he's not the same passer trying to go backwards as he is when he gets right and left to the outside and is throwing on the run, not the retreat. If I'm Mark Stoops, set the edge. South Carolina's offensive line has not showed me that they are capable of maintaining the edge and leaving that as an escape route for Lenora Sellers. They haven't showed me that yet. And if they haven't showed me that yet, I'm going to attack that. And if I can get Lenora Sellers in retreat, I give myself an opportunity here. This is not just, and it is a, but not just a must-win game for South Carolina. You have created a game where it is must-win, and you must win it by playing, I hate to use the word elementary level football, but you must win it by going back to the basics. You must win it by going basic run concepts until you get it going. Basic passing concepts until you get it going. And on defense, I don't even think the schemes are that bad. On one side of the football, on the offensive side of the football, I do think the scheme is hurting the team. I don't feel that way on defense. I think the schemes are fine for a team that lost all the talent. But if you can't tackle, Mizzou wasn't doing anything complicated. And it said, you can't stop this guy, we're going to keep giving it to him. If you can't tackle, there's nothing a coordinator can do about that. Well, I mean, there is. You could have coached tackling. I hope that, honestly, I hope the defense did nothing but just tackling dummies all week long. But this is a back-to-the-basics game. Get the run game right. Get Attaway going. Get Faison going. Get Lenora Sellers going in the run game. Defensively, just tackle, man. But to have a back-to-basics game, to have a back-to-basics game in a must-win game, that's disappointing. That's more disappointing than the record, in my opinion. 844-326-3663. Your thoughts back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. It is a genuine question that I am asking of you right now, especially, well, I shouldn't even say especially, I should say exclusively to you South Carolina fans. Is there anything that I have said so far that is unfair, that is over the top, that is unacceptable? Is there anything I've said about your team that you think is inaccurate, is unfair, is incorrect?
Here's the thing. In years past, Vandy was a get-right game. Well, you got whooped by Vandy. The other game that's usually your get-right game is Kentucky. So if you can't get right against Kentucky, you ain't going to be right all year.
Yeah.
So you're not wrong about what you've been saying. And Kentucky knows that too.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I also know that Kentucky is a team that Kentucky's not the Kentucky that they were a couple of years ago when they had, I forget the kid's name. What was that running back they had a couple of years through that came through and he had the spinner mouthpiece? Do you remember that kid?
I definitely remember, but I don't remember his name.
I'm blanking on that running back's name. It'll come to me at some point, but they had the kid and he had the mouthpiece. And it was one of the new one where they have a hole in it so that you can breathe through your mouth while keeping clamped down. And he put a like a rim spinner on the front of his. So when he breathed in and out, the spinner went off. It was freaking awesome. I don't know why I thought it was awesome. I should have thought it was lame. I thought it was great.
All right, according to AI, it doesn't mean it's real or not. Benny Schnell Jr. That sounds right.
I think that's Schnell. That's exactly who it is. Kentucky's had some good teams come through. But this is not...
Yeah, I'm seeing video with it. Yeah, it's definitely...
It was great. This is not that Kentucky team. And it's not a... It's not a bad team. Let me be very clear that it is not a bad team right now. But it's not the same Kentucky team it was a couple of years ago when Mark Stoops had the balls to go after Shane Beamer. Remember all of that? I mean, I hope you do. It was, what, 2-3 years ago. That was a better Kentucky team than what you see right now. And I would like to think, at least it is on paper, that this is a better South Carolina team, at least on paper, than that team was when you beat that Kentucky team, which was a better team. But this is still a team that is scoring 32 points a game. That's primarily because they put 48 up on Eastern Michigan. They put 24 on Toledo. They allowed 16 to Toledo. It's a winnable football game. The reason I've said it's must win is because partially, and again, yes, Kentucky has traditionally been a get-right game. I do not think, I'm not going to say there are no get-right games on the schedule anymore. Not just for South Carolina. I mean, anywhere. Again, Vanderbilt's a good football team now. Vanderbilt can beat. I'm going to obviously hit this with a big, theoretically, can beat anybody in the Southeastern Conference on their best day if they have their worst day. That is now a reality.
Don't you kind of want to see it? I mean, how historical it would be if Vandy were able to win the SEC.
If Clark Lee wins the Southeastern Conference at Vanderbilt, number one, Vandy better get every millionaire and billionaire they've got in the alumni base to pitch in to keep that guy. Number two, if Clark Lee wins the SEC at Vanderbilt, Lonzo, I was about to do one of those classic radio things where you say something very dumb in spur of the moment. We're like, if Clark Lee wins the SEC at Vanderbilt, I'll get a Vanderbilt tattoo. And then I stopped myself. You know why I stopped myself? Because I don't think it's as impossible as it sounds, gut reaction. The more I think about it.
Specifically, what tattoo would it have been?
I'd have probably gotten the V and anchor.
Okay.
I think that's a dope logo. I was about to say I will do that, but I'm not going to say that because I suspect if Vandy can find like that one billionaire in the alumni database who pulls up and says, Clark Lee, I'll pay you Ryan Day's salary if you'll stay at Vandy. And he says yes, then it's all right, put that aside. That's a long way off hypothetical. The point here is there's not really the disparity from the top to the bottom of the conference like there has been in years gone by. It's not there. But there are still teams that are very clearly towards the bottom, teams that are very clearly in the middle, and teams that are still very clearly at the top of the conference. How do I know that? Because the SEC pointed it out when they were doing their three annual rivals scheduling earlier this week. And they said competitive balance amongst the rivalries is very important to us. And you can go look at the rivals of any of the teams in the Southeastern Conference. And everybody has one from the top category, one from the middle category, and one from the bottom category. Some are stacked a little bit more difficult, like Auburn. Auburn got Alabama and Georgia. And then they got Mississippi State, who is pretty much in the middle, but like bottom of the middle, I guess. There is a top, a bottom, and a middle. Here's the fear that I have for you, South Carolina. If you lose this game to Kentucky, oh, and just so that we are clear, South Carolina is, as of today, the cellar dweller of the Southeastern Conference. You are 0-2. Everybody else that has a loss is 0-1. There's a handful of 1-0s and 1-2-0 team. It's Lane Kiffin and the Running Rebels, who beat Kentucky, by the way. Now, in fairness, Kentucky gave them a hell of a game. Texter just said Kentucky gave Ole Miss all they could handle. That's why I say this is not a gimme game. This is not a layup game. This is not a for-granted win. You had better approach this game as if you are playing Alabama or Georgia, because Kentucky can get you, but they are one of those teams. And I believe this to be true to the same but a lesser extent about Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt beats a good team when the good team makes enough mistakes. Vanderbilt needs you to make fewer mistakes to beat you than Kentucky does right now. But if you make enough mistakes, Kentucky can beat you. Ole Miss was very close to that being a reality. Now, I would also point out that Ole Miss team was still very much trying to find their identity. Austin Simmons was still in the quarterback spot. Now they are starting. The rumor is, though Lane Kiffin hasn't confirmed it, even though Pat McAfee kind of blew it for him on the show the other day, the rumor is, and by the way, that unsurprising, I have zero doubt Lane Kiffin was going to keep Trinidad Chambliss as the starter, but he did not want Brian Kelly and Ole Miss to know that, which is why when Pat pointed it out on the show the other day, I think Lane was like, damn, dog, really? Really? You're going to tell him my nuclear option before we get there? What are we doing? Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Point is, Kentucky needs you to make some mistakes to beat you. Kentucky needs you to make some mistakes in order to take advantage of them. The problem is South Carolina has been making mistakes. You can be playing the best defense in college football. To go from first and goal on the one to second and goal on the 23, that's because the offense blew it, dude. That's because the offense blew it. There is not a defense that should move any offense from first and goal to second and goal on the 23. That's on you. When Ahmad Hardy is running, by the way, go watch the run game from Mizzou. It wasn't special. It wasn't foreign concepts. It wasn't unique concepts. It was off guard ISO. It was off tackle, blocked down on the end. Let's see if a linebacker can get to the edge. It was nothing special or unique. They just went, our guy's running through, over, around your guys. And if you're not going to stop him, we're not going to stop giving it to him. Kentucky needs you to make mistakes to beat them. The problem is South Carolina's been making mistakes, and you have been living and dying by Lenora Sellers' ability to throw it 50 yards in the air and find Nick Harbor down the sideline to come up with a circus catch and give you a couple of explosive chunk plays to keep your spirits up and drives alive. But you haven't got anything else going. This is a game where you cannot afford to live and die by the big play carrying you. It is a back to basics game. Figure out why the run game isn't working, fix it, and do that. Figure out why the pass game is not what you want it to be, fix it, execute that. Again, I've said for 2 weeks now, going into the Missouri game, I said it, certainly since the Missouri game, not utilizing the full toolkit that Lenora Sellers puts on the bench, that's a fireable offense to me. I don't call for firings. I'm not calling for Mike Shula's firings. It's not me. It's not my style. It's not how I roll. But if we go through this Kentucky game, and damn sure if you lose it, if we get through this Kentucky game and I see Lenora Sellers taking snaps into three-step drops, into five-step drops, into seven-step drops so you can find the big play, and that is all I see out of the pass game, if I see a run game that is the same as it looked against Missouri, same as it looked against Vanderbilt, if I don't see, I'm not asking for drastic changes, I'm just asking you to do the things that you know can work with Lenore specifically. And I'm asking you, with the run game, where can we get the chunks from? What run style is going to work for us? And if Faison's not the guy, give more to Attaway. And if Attaway's not the guy, give more to Faison. And if neither one of those is the guy, then either find somebody who is or start working out a run plan that gets away from what you have been doing and find what works for them. But I'm going to keep this one simple. Before we talk about Lenora Sellers, before we talk about Faison, before we talk about Attaway, before we talk about Harbor or anybody else, there is one group of guys and one group of guys alone that I am going to be locked in on this weekend. This offensive line has to be better. None of the other things that I have talked about matter. If the there's a very good chance that Faison is a damn good running back, but he's just got no hole to hit. That Attaway can develop into a very good power option, but he just doesn't have the hole to hit. Maybe the belief is that Lenoris is being turned into a 3-5 step drop guy because they just don't believe that he has the time to stand, wait for a pocket or not pocket to develop and decide which way to go. But again, I can't believe that's the case with the long balls. That being said, the offensive line has to get better. It has to get better because the key is to open up the run game. I really believe this South Carolina offense opens up if they can run the ball, which they have not been able to do. But if that starts with the offensive line and the offensive line fails, nothing else matters. This is both a must-win game and a get-back-to-basics game at the same time. All right, we're going to run to a break coming up. Water cooler cheat sheet. We're going to take a look at the top three sports stories you need to know. The Ryder Cup kicks off at 7:10. I'll give you some thoughts about this year's Ryder Cup. It's my favorite event in golf. I like it more than the Masters, judge me. Then we will talk a little football later in the show. We got Rashad Beard coming by. We've got Denton Day coming by. We've got the boys from the Moving the Chains pod coming by, all stacked up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate now. A gentleman, I got nothing for a segue. I blew it, Lonzo. What do you want me to say nice about your sports flash?
It's going to be awesome, people.
It's going to be awesome, Lonzo Sports Flash.
There we go. I love that. Seattle Seahawks gave up a 14-point advantage in the third quarter, but hit a 52-yard field goal as time expired for a 23-20 win over Arizona last night. In the last minute, Sam Darnold hit Jackson Smith Njigba from The Ohio State University for a 22-yard gain to set up the Jason Myers walk-off for the eighth consecutive win over the Cardinals. Sam Darnold threw for 242 yards and a touchdown in the win. Ryder Cup begins today at Bethpage Black in New York. Two-time U.S. champion Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau will bat leadoff against Spaniard John Rahm and Englishman Tyrrell Hatton. 2 years ago, the Americans were swept in the opening foursomes. Not going to happen today, though. Lakers have extended the contract of head coach J.J. Redick. Though terms were not disclosed, Redick led the Lakers to a 50-32 record last year, third in the West, and a first-round playoff loss to Minnesota. Our number two is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.